We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, hello. This is Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. Jesse is beside me. How's it going, Jesse?
Pretty good, man.
There is hockey on TV.
Yes, there is.
Real. Like, this is not even preseason. This is real hockey.
Yeah, I got this. I mean, it is weird to watch actual hockey again. Yeah, first week of the season. Pretty exciting stuff.
If there was like one or two games. Actually, there's only a couple teams that just played on Saturday last night. So there's not a whole lot to talk about, but we got some takeaways that we're going to give you today.
Yep, for sure.
We got some, there's some news, and we drafted last Sunday.
Yeah, I thought we talked about our draft, but we must have did our pod in the morning, which makes sense. So yeah, we did our draft last Sunday.
How do you feel about your team?
I feel pretty good. I've already made a cut. I cut Jeff Skinner today for Elias Pettersson. Yeah, I take back things I said about Skinner. Apparently, he has found no chemistry with Eichel, and anything beyond the first line of Buffalo is a wasteland, so I don't want any part of that. Might be a little rash for some people, but we have kind of a deep free agent pool this year. We've cut a lot of forwards from our drafting, so it's not like it's there's no one there. There's tons and tons of players available, so I feel pretty good about that. You made some moves already. You dropped Eberle, you said.
I did that before the season.
Oh, well,
I picked up Eberle with my last pick, and then I dropped him and decided to go with Lee.
Gotcha.
Same team, but I just thought Lee was the new captain, so I was like, oh, maybe we'll
roll
the dice.
Yeah, speaking of Islanders, some trends for our draft was none of the Islanders got drafted except for Barzal. So at the end of our draft, there was Bailey and Lee. They both have been picked up now. So that's, I don't know if that happened in your guys' draft, but those guys definitely did not get a lot of value in our league.
Yeah. What's some other stuff that happened that was crazy? Goalies went late. We did a redraft this year. So everyone was back in the pool. There was no keepers, no rookies or anything like that. And then goalie train kind of started on the fifth round.
Yeah, there was, looks like eight goalies went between rounds four and five. We have a 19 league, so looks like everyone picked up a goalie, except myself. I went for a later goalie strategy. I ended up picking up a guy I absolutely hate and just talked about how bad he was going to be this year, but he was the only value position left, so I picked up Jake Dallin, of course. He's let in 10 goals in two games. I will be replacing him soon.
That might be karma.
Yeah.
For saying that you didn't like him.
Yeah, I didn't want to pick him, man. I didn't want to. But I did get Bishop, who has been pretty red hot. The Stars look really, really good at the moment, so that's not too bad.
Very late.
Very late, yes.
Very late for Bishop, which is nice. Something else I wanted to bring up about the draft is that Carlson and Burns went in round one and two.
Both Carlsons. Yeah. Well, there was that questionable pick by a certain manager. The other Carlson, John Carlson.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't think that Erik Karlsson and Brett Burns are going to have enough fantasy points for both of them, but obviously other people do, and they still went one and two.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a sort of a banger league. We got rid of Pym this year. I'm okay with the Burns pick just because Burns shoots like 400 times a year, so I think his value will be okay for first. I do think Erik Karlsson could have been waited on, and obviously John Carlson, but I don't think that's a good pick, so I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, it was very interesting to see those two defense go before. I mean, Burns went before Crosby in our league, so
yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Crosby in the back of the first, like MacKinnon, Tavares, Ovi, McDavid all went before him with Burns. That's kind of crazy. Stamkos at the back there, too.
Yeah, a lot of surprise. Yeah, I mean, every year there's just stuff that happens. Our Leaf homer did get both Tavares and Matthews, so he's pretty stoked about that.
How do you feel about me picking MacKinnon as four?
I don't hate it.
Instead of Tavares or Crosby or Stamkos.
I'd rather have MacKinnon than Tavares, but maybe I'd rather have Crosby than MacKinnon. It's really close.
Yep.
But I don't hate the MacKinnon pick. It's fine. I think he got another 2 points last night, so they'll figure it out. It's not a big deal.
And you actually had first pick, and you picked Ovechkin over McDavid.
Yes.
Explain yourself.
I did receive a lot of flame and collusion remarks.
that was just me.
Yeah.
Just from me.
In our league last year, Ovechkin finished a few points behind McDavid, and by a few points, I mean literally 5 points behind. If McDavid, like, somehow regresses a little bit, then Ovi becomes the true number one. The main reason I picked Ovi number one is just because of his health, because he plays 82 games a year. I think he's going to be relaxed from winning the cup. And I'm a huge Ovechkin fan, so I'm a huge homer. So as sad as it is, I knew I was never going to see him on the way back in those 18-19 picks. So I just wanted to have Ovechkin. So I picked him up, and I feel okay with about it. So if I lose because of that, is what it is. But
that's the thing. Looking at it, is that's not going to make or break your league.
Yeah, it's the first round. Like I said, if McDavid ends up with like 10 more fantasy points, that's fine. I'll take it. But I really like Ovechkin's health and stuff like that. I know I can just leave him there, and he'll end up with 48 goals again and whatever and be done. Yeah. So,
and if it's that close, you're going to watch Washington games over Oilers, right?
Exactly.
Over Edmonton. So.
Yeah, so. Like I said, it is weird. I mean, that some people, especially someone who's on a podcast, that talks about like these guys. But I'm a pretty experienced guy, and I really like what Ovi adds for our pool, so I did pull the trigger on Ovechkin first.
With shots and hits and stuff, it's a little.
Yeah.
If you're in a straight only points, then you maybe
look for sure.
David
if it's points only, I don't even draft Ovi, to be honest. Like, I probably take McKinnon's and the high ceiling guys and stuff like that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's points only, you take McDavid, and then I don't even think you draft Ovi in the first two rounds, maybe. I mean, if it's positional, then of course you pick him up because he's the best, like, right wing or whatever, but our league has no positional. We don't really do that, so it's not like you just pick what's best available kind of thing. So,
yeah. All right, let's move on to like what's actually happening. The drafts are done.
Yes.
So this is when you're going to win your league. You're going to look at these players. You're going to look at schedules. You're going to scour the free agent pools and make a good roster. You guys know where to find us at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. I love looking at all these rosters. I know we're laughing at some of them. A lot of people are going with the late goalie strategy. Like, just to get better forwards and then late goalies, which is interesting. I didn't know that was going to be a strategy a lot of people are going to be using this year, but apparently it is.
Yeah, also, everyone that has posted a roster to us has anti-Ranta.
Yep.
I feel that's quite the theme of fantasy podcast listeners this year, is everybody has that goalie on their team. Unfortunately, Coyotes have been shut out 2 games in a row, so it doesn't feel so good. But a lot of people are on that hype train, so I'm...
And you said that, too.
I said it, too, yeah. So, I mean, Ranta might end up on my team as soon as Allen's gone. I just don't trust Coyotes at one bit, and so far I've been correct. Yeah. They haven't scored a goal, but it's not like Jake Allen's doing much better with 10 goals in 2 games and 2 losses. So I just thought that was quite funny, because every time you read the rosters to me, I'm like, oh, let me guess. Andy Ranta.
Yeah.
He's like, yes.
you look at them, and you're like, these forwards are great.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get to the goalies, and you're like, oh, wait.
I'm like, wow, this is a really good core. And then it's like, they have to have Ranta and someone else. And it's like, yes, Ranta this. And I was like, this is crazy. So
yeah.
If Ranta can show up in any way, he will win the pool for any one of those people. So
yeah, because your forwards are stacked.
Because your teams are so stacked. Exactly, yeah.
So if you listen to the podcast last year, you know how we do this. We do some news. We do schedules. Our takeaways from whatever games are happening over the week, anything that we can help you out, pickups, and then we do our kudos at the end, like always. So, news. We didn't talk about this, but it happened last week. Wilson got 20 games for that crazy hit.
Yeah, I think it's very deserved. I'm a Caps homer, and I think it's totally fine. It's preseason, and the guy's headhunting people. It's absolutely disgusting.
It was ruthless.
I don't get it. I don't know if there's chemical imbalance in his brain or like what it is. I you don't need to play that way in the preseason or any time. So I'm very fine with 20 games. Even if it was 40 games, I would be like, yeah, cool, man.
Well, that's the reason he got the 20 is because he's the repeat.
Yeah, he's beyond repeat offender. It's you sign first line money, winger money.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the team likes you that much. They like what you did in the playoffs. They think you can play on the top line.
Yeah.
And you kill some guy who's a fringe NHLer, some Sundqvist guy.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he's an idiot. I don't know what else to say. The dude's an idiot. I'm very happy with 20 games. Like I said, you could remove him for the full season, and I'd be like, yeah, I agree. That's fine. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's gross. So I imagine you feel the same kind of way. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah, he just needs to get it through his head that you can't be playing like that, especially in preseason. Like, if it's the Stanley Cup Finals, they're going to let more stuff slide,
yeah,
like those harder hits. But he's just kind of He's throwing his arms around and elbows and stuff like that. For fantasy, it doesn't affect players. It doesn't affect us. If you're in a deeper league, you might have Wilson on your team. I think it actually does affect the other players, though. They're moving up to that top line because it leaves it an opening for them.
Yeah, the guy who benefits the most is Connolly. Yep. I mean, I don't know if I would say draft him. He's going to get zero power play time, so it doesn't make a difference. As you can see how good the Caps' power play has been over the last two games. That's the majority of their points. So I can, in no good conscience, tell you to draft Colony. But he is the guy who got to move up. So hopefully he gets some fun time for the next 20 games hanging out with those dudes. But, yeah, when Wilson's back, I imagine he'll go back to the top spot. But, yeah, I can't. Yeah, I mean,
he needs to do the same thing that Marchand did and like change his game.
Yeah, I mean,
if he has the skill, then play with the skill and yeah. stop being
like
he
can
goon.
Be a pass and land big hits and yeah. stuff. But like, yeah, I don't know. He's a weird guy. So nonetheless, beyond that, we talked about Kruger in a boot, and
I broke that news last week.
We did break it, and apparently it is not just for show. Krug is injured. Obviously, this benefits McAvoy the most as he moves up to the power play spot.
Yep.
They say Krug's got about 2 weeks left to rehab. So
October 22nd, yes. return date.
So if you can stash him, stash him. Obviously, Krug is still the number one guy. Boston's had a pretty slow start so far, getting shut out by the Caps in the first game. And then they did come back and win their second game, but they will be fine. And Krug is still a huge cog, so hopefully you guys didn't drop him. If you have an IR spot, please stash the guy and get him going in 2 weeks because he will take over.
I like how what it does for McAvoy. Just hopefully he gets some
Yeah, it gives him
everything,
a true look at the of the top everything. So it's good for the team. And
he could be sneaky to keep all year.
Yeah.
A third or fourth defenseman on your team. Okay, let's jump into schedules. So how this works is I always go to, what's the site, Daily Faceoff, and it'll tell you, there's a schedules little tab, and it'll tell you how many games each team is playing.
Yes.
So if you set your lineup for the week, if you're doing a head-to-head or something like that, you want more games played, obviously. You don't want these teams that have one or two games. So this week, Anaheim, Sharks, and Vegas all play four games.
Nice.
That is the most in the league. Anaheim and Sharks look like they could go 4-0 here.
Yeah, they did have a pretty soft schedule.
Anaheim, Detroit, Arizona, Dallas, and St. Louis. So those are four winnable games, especially for a really good Anaheim team. Mm-hmm. And then the Sharks go Islanders, Philly, Rangers, New Jersey. Another four games. Like they're both coming out with two wins for sure.
Yeah, I would say it's 50-50 splits minimum. Obviously, if you're in a head-to-head week, these are guys you're going to want to be starting because they're going to get the lion's share of the point opportunities.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, there's only one back-to-back I saw for the Sharks. So Jones should probably play three of the four games, which is pretty good for him.
Yep.
And, yeah, so if you have those guys, definitely make sure to get them going.
Play your studs, play your Pavelskis, Couture,
yeah.
I would say,
Canes,
too.
Whatever you can, yeah.
And then Vegas is the other team that has four games. They're playing Buffalo, Washington, and Pittsburgh, which would be pretty tough, and then Philly.
Yeah, three of those are pretty tough. Buffalo should be free. Yeah, that's tough. Vegas has been kind of slow start. I mean, obviously, it's funny. I had to laugh when I say it because, I mean, it's like game one. It's just like, oh, man, what a brutal start.
Yeah, I know.
But Patch has gotten the board, so he's moving up. So, but, yeah, exactly. So they have another four-game schedule. And, yeah, maybe they can chop that for 50-50, hopefully, for them. So,
yeah, that would be nice. So that leads us right into the takeaways from the first couple games. Three for some teams, one for other teams.
Yes.
What are you doing? You're obviously dropping Skinner, which I think is a little early.
Yeah.
Like, my main thing is don't overreact.
Yeah. I'm an overreactor.
You are?
Yeah.
You're going to go pick up Taves now? You got a hat trick?
Taves got drafted, man. I wish.
Oh, right. He did. That's absurd.
Disgusting Taves draft. Yeah, my top takeaways. Well, yeah, like I said, yeah, I think Skinner's toast. I think Skinner's going to get 40 points, personally. So, like I said, if you're not on the first line of Buffalo, you might as well be on the fourth line. And with the availability of talent out there, I went for Elias Pettersson, who looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
He's going to play every power play opportunity. The weird thing going on in Vancouver I want to ask you is Boeser has no points. And they say Boeser is... They said he's playing scared, is what I read. because of his back injury.
Yeah.
So it's like a mental thing is what I was reading. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with him. So if he's not there, then it's definitely going to give Pedersen even more opportunity to get points.
Yep.
So that's something to look at.
I'm not, as a Vancouver Canucks fan, I'm not worried. I'm not worried 2 games in against the Flames, right? They're all going to get their footing. I'm not worried about Pasternak with only 1 point, or I'm not worried about Pavelski with 0 points, or like these things. Don't want to overreact. I can get on board with your Skinner overreaction because he's on a terrible team and you're giving him a shot.
Yeah, he was my last pick.
Yeah, so you were giving him a shot. Saying, I literally prove it to me in a couple games, and if not, I'll trade you.
Yeah, I gave him the 2 games. He played like 13 minutes each game, was not utilized the way I wanted him to be utilized, and it was an easy cut. Connor Sherry took his spot, and I imagine the end is history for the Skin Dog, unfortunately.
But like all these stud guys that aren't on the score sheet yet, don't get rid of them.
Oh, no.
Don't trade him away. You're keeping those guys.
Yeah, you draft them for a reason. I mean, like, all three of my defense have no points, and I have Hedman, Yossi, and Provorov. Provorov, okay, but Yossi's had 2 games and nothing yet. Hedman's only had the 1 game and nothing yet, so it's not like I'm going to be like, oh, my God, those guys have to go.
Right.
But, yeah, there's always a fringe guy that you think – I mean, just go with your gut. I've watched a lot of hockey, and usually I'm do okay with cutting people, and I feel no regret with Skinner. So, nonetheless, so he's done.
Yeah, there's some crazy things that went on so far. Like, Montreal is 1-0-1.
Yeah, I don't want to say, like, I told you so or anything like that, but I figured they would start strong.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that team...
Young team.
Yeah, they're so young. They're going to have an edge. So, yeah, that to me, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Price looks good.
Yeah.
And the other takeaways from that were Max Domi looks actually really good in that system.
Yeah, Domi looks good. Paul Byron is getting a bunch of points again.
No, don't draft him. But Max Domi could be like a fringe player where he has the talent to make some points happen every game. Washington looks good. They're 1-0-1.
Their offense looks good, yeah. For sure.
You're going to let in 6 goals to the Penguins. But they're the Penguins, though. Yeah. They're a strong team.
Well, those games are always the best games to watch. The Caps, Pens, because it's just an absolute carnage shootout no matter what. Doesn't matter who's in net. Washington does look good. Speaking of overreactions, Oshie's got a lot of points right now.
I love it.
Don't go.
Because we always talk down Oshie.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say, like, I mean, don't go crazy on the Oshies. What I'm trying to say is if you have them, maybe try to trade him. I know it's kind of weird to
say
something.
Is that a sell high candidate?
I mean, that's as high as you could sell now. If you could get something for Oshie, who you likely drafted super late in your draft, that is something I would definitely explore. I mean, obviously the power play looks great and stuff like that. So, I feel good. I think the Caps look pretty good. So I don't think it's repeat territory, but they will definitely be in the thick of the playoffs again. And it's good to see them start off. I mean, shutting out Boston at a first home game is pretty insane. So
right, yeah. And the Stanley Cup hangover doesn't seem to be literally the Stanley Cup hangover because they were all drinking out of it all the time is not really affecting them. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see in a month or so but at the end of the year. But usually those first couple of games are just brutal. But they've scored, I think, like 9 goals in 2 games. So it's not like I don't see any issues there. So I'm feeling pretty good about them.
Is there anyone on Washington that's jumping out? Because I don't have a single Washington player on my team, but I would like a piece of the action.
John Carlson looks amazing.
Draft him. Well, I'm saying anyone else that's not drafted.
Undrafted? I mean, Vrana looks kind of good. He's doing good on the second line. Beyond that, I'd say that's it, to be honest.
And then just the big guys?
It's the big guys, yeah. The only ones that's scoring is that first power play unit, obviously.
I see Backstrom, Ovi.
Yeah, Backstrom, Ovi, Oshie, Kuz, Carlson. Beyond that, Varane looks okay, but I don't know if it's going to be a crazy season for him. I really wanted to see Tom Wilson and what he could do, so it kind of was a bummer to see him gone the 20 games. I wanted to see what his potential was, but we will have to wait.
Yeah, Washington still looks fine.
Yeah, on the other side of things...
How about them Rangers?
Yeah, the Rangers.
0-2. I don't have a single person that I can call out on this team because no one looks good.
Yeah.
Lundqvist isn't playing very well. It's going to be a long season in Rangers land, I think.
Yeah, till they get Panarin or something. the team is very, it's just good. It's a good team, but good isn't enough.
But it's all like B grade players. Yeah. Like there's no stars or anything on
this
team.
It's tough. Like, I do like Buchnevich or Buchnevich, sorry, and Zibanejad. That line's okay. They did score a goal, but yeah, I have no surprises that the Rangers are currently 0-2. So,
and is that a is that an overreaction by us saying that they're bad? Or?
No, I think they're going to stay bad for sure. Yeah,
I think I agree. I think below 500 on the year.
Yeah, it'll be close
for the Rangers. We watched the Toronto Montreal game. That was the first game that aired on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Montreal looked good. Toronto looked slow. Like, on paper, their team is phenomenal and all this firepower.
Yeah.
They looked bad.
They did look bad. I agree.
I wasn't impressed by Anderson. I wasn't impressed by the D saying that they got another year.
Yeah.
And then the forwards just looked out of place.
Yeah. It was very interesting. They sneak out an overtime win against Montreal. And then lose to Ottawa. So, it's not really a good start for Toronto. So, I want all those super Toronto homers that yell at everyone in their pools and drafts about how great Toronto is to, you know, just take it down a notch. You guys lost to Ottawa. I mean, okay. And you barely squeaked by because Matthews is an OT god.
Put away the parade floats.
Yeah, let's...
Just hold on.
Yeah, let's just relax. I mean, they're going to be a very good team, obviously. But they looked very human the first two games. So
that's what I thought. I thought they were just going to come out and 10-0 to start.
So I don't know if the Nylander contract dispute is affecting things, and you got guys on the first line that shouldn't be. I mean, one of the lines was like Marlowe Ennis or something with Matthews, which is deplorable.
Ennis is holding the line of Nylander.
Yeah, that's absolutely disgusting. Ennis is not an NHL player. He does not – well, he's whatever, but – he does not belong on those lines, and they need Nylander back.
I think they do.
They need something. It's tough. I don't know.
And the best player on the team was Matthews.
Yeah, no surprise there. But yeah, he's gonna be the one. So yeah, it was weird. I don't know what's gonna happen to Toronto, but they'll obviously be fine. But
for a team that like boasts a very young roster, they just came out slow, and then you watch the Canadians like skate circles around them.
Yeah,
and then Toronto would go down with one opportunity and score.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, well, that's Montreal just had eight opportunities, and you had one opportunity. So I mean, if you capitalize on that one every time, you're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But against some of the better teams in the league, like Toronto might have. I know Babcock's probably in the dressing room yelling at them, like, move your feet, get off the ice. Yeah.
He's missing Komarov. He needs his old guys.
I don't know what's going on there.
But we'll have to check in with them in a week because obviously everyone likes to talk about the Leafs, love them or hate them. Another team with a hot start is Dallas.
Yep.
Have Bishop. He got a shutout his first game, and they won the second game. As we said in many podcasts before, man, Dallas is a one-line team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is Ben Sagan, Radulov, Klingberg. I think they've touched on every possible goal they've done so far.
Yeah,
the offense there is clicking. Keep an eye on that. Obviously, if it dries up, they are toast. But as it is right now, the getting is good. Spezza has 2 points. I don't know how much to read
into
that. Is
that a sneaky pick?
It's just power play points. He's only playing 12 minutes a game. I still think he's garbage, but someone to think about if you need a power play specialist. And I think he's a okay kind of stream pick for the week.
You got to be in deeper leagues.
But it's tough because he's also kind of a center, and I imagine there's better centers. But I was just going to give him a quick shit out because he does have the 2 points in the couple games. So he's definitely getting utilized on that top power play. And
Is this Dallas turning a corner? Are they actually going to make the playoffs and be a team this year?
I mean, for my fantasy team, that'd be fantastic. Well, for my goalie anyway, I could care less about anyone else. I don't know. It's hard for me to be – I mean – if it's committee scoring, I'm like, okay, sweet. You know, the team's clicking.
100%.
If
it's one line, but if you run up against Nashville, you're going to get shut down.
And it's just your power play scoring. That's what scares me a lot. So I think Dallas will be a fringe. They'll probably miss the playoffs again, in my opinion, honestly.
Ooh.
Even though they're 2-0, but I would not be surprised if they miss it by like 5 points again or something. So.
Jeez. And I think actually Bishop was my goalie that I picked this year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I said wait really late for him. Yep. And look up Bishop because he had good numbers in Tampa and Ottawa. He was always a good goalie.
Yep.
They just need to get some pieces in Dallas, and I think they got it That's why I picked Klingberg. I picked Klingberg probably in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. You got him in the fourth. I think he has a couple points already, so he should pay off for you pretty good.
What about another team that I really like? What about Colorado?
Turn
in the big corner from
I'm
last
impressed.
To first.
Yeah, it's not just the McKinnon show. I mean, Soderberg had a bunch of points, so I mean, that was pretty cool. Kerfoot, yeah, the young guys are coming off. Varlamov's playing great right now. Yeah, I think Colorado's going to be fine. And they look really, really good, so we'll have to follow that. I think Eric Johnson got 3 points last night. So, yeah.
And the big line is clicking.
Yeah, McKinnon and Ratnan already getting on the board already. Yeah, it's up to Varlamov, and same kind of idea if they can spread that offense out. Kind of a bummer so far is Barry has no points.
He doesn't even have one?
Nothing of all those goals so far, but again, be patient with him. He's still the guy there.
And he starts off slow. I've had him in the past.
Yeah.
He starts off pretty slow and then kicks
it in. And
then
he gets 4 point games, then it just starts going.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's for sure historically slow starter.
So we can't leave the Colorado 2-0 without talking about Varlamov and Grubauer. Mm-hmm. We briefly talked about it before the podcast, but I've had people tweet us and they're wondering what to do because Grubauer wasn't drafted in very many leagues unless you're in a deep league. So he's on the waivers right now.
Yes.
And people are salivating, saying, I can get Grubauer. Should I get Grubauer? Should I drop Jake Allen and get Grubauer?
Yes.
What are we giving everyone for advice here?
I'm going to say full stop for now. Varley's 2-0. He looks great. And coaches don't just play goalies for the sake of playing goalies.
Right.
So, give it another week or two. If Varley loses two or three in a row and Grubauer wins one of his starts, then we'll start seeing the share. But as it is right now, I think they're literally going to keep rolling volume off until the first back-to-back maybe, and then Grubauer will get a shot. But, this is exactly what we expected. They started volume off to start the year, obviously. He got the two starts, but he got two wins. So
he's a good goalie.
And he's playing for his job now.
Right.
So that's the thing. Like,
a little more pressure.
This dude is motivated beyond motivation because he knows, like, if I, like, drop three or something, I'm done. Like, it's not like my team is like, oh, you know, better luck next time. It's like, no, you're backup now.
Yeah. You have someone waiting to supplant you.
Yeah, we paid a second round pick. We paid this to get this goalie here specifically for when you fail. So, I have no problem. But for now, for sure, I would not draft Grubauer, obviously. And wait, I mean, Varlamov will falter at some point in the season and he will get his starts. But
and his health is always an issue.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Watch his health.
But as it is right now, no, Varley is the big dog there, and we'll be there to foreseen. So,
would you rather have Jake Allen or Varlamov?
Well, if I could go back in time, I'd rather Varlamov.
I would.
I might just drop Allen for Varlamov, to be honest. I think St. Louis is going to score a lot of goals, but they are not stopping anything.
Right.
Which is absolutely disgusting. So, speaking of big dogs, Taves.
Taves? I can't believe Taves was... Firstly, I can't believe Taves was drafted in our league.
Yeah.
Secondly, he is lighting it up. He got a hat trick last night.
Casual hat trick. I would love to see the stats on Taves' last hat trick. I feel like the guy has 16 goals a year, maybe. It's... I mean, I don't know what to read into it. I think one of them was an overtime win, and I don't know the other one. It doesn't make a difference, but
Patrick Kane looks good.
Yeah, Kane, team. Of course, looks good. Schmaltz has got a couple points.
Is everyone running out to pick up Taves right now?
I think a lot of people probably are. I wouldn't be surprised if he has like the most ads on Yahoo or something right now.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it.
I still don't want a piece of Taves. I could.
Chicago looks okay. You got Cam Ward in net.
Yeah, he's doing good. I mean, they're 2-0, so it's as good as it's going to get. He's going to hold on the fort till Crawford gets back here in a couple weeks. They say it's a week, so I might hold out for Crawford to get back and see how he plays. But, Chicago's out to a good start. I still think they're going to suck and miss the playoffs. But, hey, as it is right now, it's turning back the clock.
You know what? This is what happened, was it last year or the year before, with, like, panic.
Yeah, Richard.
Right?
Yeah.
They come out and they get 5 goals, 6 assists in 10 games.
Yeah.
You're like, this is an 11-point guy in 10 games. And then everyone else starts catching up.
Yeah.
Teams start coming out of their slumber, and then everything like kind of like evens out.
Yeah, I remember, it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember last year, I think Hartman had a 5-point opening game.
Yes, yep.
And I was like, whoa, okay, this is cool.
Same team, right?
Same team, yeah, exactly. Yep. He was on the same team, the line with, I think it was Schmaltz, Hartman or something, Kane or something.
Yep.
And yeah, so as is right now, I'm just saying Taves is going full Hartman at the moment, so I will just wait on that.
Especially and, if, like our league, we have a capped amount of trades.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so we just 25
can't... moves.
What if we didn't have a cap on trades and you could just pick up anyone? Would you be more interested in Taves?
Yeah, you play the hot hand, right? For sure. If the guy gets a hat trick, I'm yo-ho, I'm picking him up for sure. But when I only have 25 moves for an entire schedule, it's tough to justify a move that you... Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Cause
it's tough.
Everyone's out there is playing in different leagues, right? Yeah. Some of those Yahoo leagues you can drop and pick up every day.
Yeah.
So the active managers get the rewards. I would probably look at Chicago's schedule and see what they got the next couple of days and see if that's a move I want to make or if I just want to sit with what I have. That's another question that we're getting on Twitter a lot is should they pick up the hot hand or stick with their players that they drafted? So we had Ferland from Carolina.
Yeah, we've been asked that, yep.
I was just going to bring this one up. And then he was wondering if he should drop Kovalchuk, Hoffman, or Konechny
right.
for Ferland from Carolina. And that's way too early to be dropping Hoffman, which played one game, and then Kovalchuk, which will take a little bit to get used to the NHL again, and Konechny, he's playing on the top line. So full stop.
Yeah, just relax. Cut your fringe players. Don't cut the guys you draft.
Yeah, we've had lots of those guys. We've had lots of those questions come in from Twitter, like asking us, "Oh, should I drop this guy for Spezza because he got 2 points?"
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Well, this is relax. Everyone take a deep breath. It's only a couple games. We'll get more stuff after 10 games, and we'll be able to see where rookies are placed and stuff like that. Last takeaway is Anaheim's 2-0. It seems like they got things together. They're going to be a strong team coming out of California.
Yeah, Gibson looks great. Looks like you've noted Silverberg. He's definitely got.
I put Silverberg though.
Well, that's okay.
That's what I put as my spelling. That's terrible.
Yeah, you got the F in there, Silver.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks good. Obviously, no Kessler yet, so it's that second line of Silverberg, Henrik, and I forget who else is on there. That's been rotating a bit up and down, but yeah. So Getzlaf and Raquel are doing their thing. Gibson stopping pucks, and
yeah, they look good.
They look good. Yeah, we expected them to be a solid Western team, and they are.
I think they're gonna end up in the playoffs against San Jose. It's gonna be like San Jose Anaheim, and it's gonna be a crazy series.
Yeah, it'll be a banger series.
Is there any other takeaways from the other teams that I don't have listed here that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, Florida is running a 5-forward power play.
Really?
So.
No Yandel.
Yandel
no
owners Ekblad. Kind of bummed out, but this is super wicked, and I can't wait.
They've only played one game. They're one of the teams that has only played one game so far.
Yeah, they're running the Barkov, Huberdeau, Trocheck, Dadonov, Hoffman, five-man forward monster power play.
Wow.
So I think this is really cool.
Will it work? I don't know.
It remains to be seen. I think it'll be okay. Barkov is responsible enough to act as a defenseman. It's not like Yandel was killing it defensively on the. So I need to catch a Florida game because I think this is hilarious. obviously, this is a huge, huge slap in the face of Yandel owners. So I don't know what I would do as a Yandel owner. I know I'm an advanced, you're the advice guy here, but I've never encountered this where.
They just put another forward on the power play instead of
exactly, right?
your power play guy.
I mean, Yandel is very reliant on the power play, especially how good the Florida power play unit is in particular. So this is a lot of points gone. If it stays all year, then you have to drop him, in my opinion. So
they might switch back. Like, Yandel might go up there eventually.
I mean, he should. But as is right now, like I said, this is the game one we saw, and I thought this was super cool. I don't have Yandel, so obviously I'm breathing free over here. I don't care.
I don't have Ekblad or him. So.
Yeah, so but beyond that, this is definitely something to keep an eye on, you guys. So if Yandel comes back, I imagine it'll be Dadonov or Hoffman will get the cut. I'm not sure which would be which. I have to see what happens.
It might be Dadonov because he's on the right wing, and then Malgin is the second unit. So they would probably demote Malgin and put Dadonov down there.
Yeah, that second unit looks bad.
Well, it's because they load up the first. That's what's gonna happen.
It's like Pittsburgh, but at least Pittsburgh has Letang, so it's like there's a one defenseman out there.
If you can call him a defenseman.
Yeah.
Any other teams? I wanted to bring up one of the guys I talked about earlier was James Neal.
Yes.
He is not playing on the top line. It is Elias Lindholm, and I know I briefly mentioned it in the last pod and kind of leading up to this. Mm-hmm. Neal is down to the third line, but he is playing power play unit time.
Yes.
So keep an eye on that, but Elias Lindholm looks like he's going to be the money guy there.
He's the guy. I had a choice between picking up him and Pettersson. I liked Pettersson just because he just looks better as a player. But, yeah, Lindholm has played 20 minutes both games. He's playing with the big line, and he's got the number one power play unit. I would say he has to be picked up by most people if you have a slot available. We're in a, like I said, our league isn't as deep, so we got some spots, so he probably might sit there for a bit till we see what happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it, as it is, Neal is not the real deal, and
He has one assist in two games.
Yeah, whatever. Like I said, I wasn't high on Neal before, so I still feel vindicated. I know you were high on Neal, but of course you were high on him being on that spot.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't decide what the coaches decide. So at the moment, Neal is, I'd say, droppable, in my opinion. Obviously, it's early to say that, but it looks like Lindholm has that spot pretty much all but locked up.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a guy I would keep an eye on in your pools.
Would you rather have Elias Lindholm or Eberle?
Lindholm for sure.
Lindholm for sure.
Anyone but Eberle.
Really?
I don't want any piece of the Islanders that isn't named Barzal.
I'm trying to think of another guy. Would you rather have Huberto or Elias Lindholm?
That's a good question. So that one's tough. I like Huberto. Probably because Huberto. I would say Huberto.
Huberto?
Yeah, just because he has really, he had a better season last year and he has more stuff individually. He can create more.
But that's kind of the range we're looking in now for Elias, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if he stays the way he stays on that line, he definitely will shatter his previous totals of like 45 points.
Yeah.
I'd say 60 minimum is the floor now for the guy, just being on that line by default. So, yeah, something to look into. Other than that, I can't think of too many other takeaways.
You mentioned Skinner being demoted too.
Yeah, Skinner was a pretty big disappointment for me, so I had no problem getting rid of him.
I think other than that, we're just going to wait out some more games and see what happens so we can make some more concrete statements.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Oilers for a bit. They don't look very good, obviously. I don't like the Oilers, so it's not a big surprise. You might have noticed last game that Draisaitl and McDavid had two even strength points together.
Yeah.
What happened in that game is they needed offense desperately. They were behind, and so they tossed them together to create some offense, which it did. So... don't panic on that thinking, or sorry, don't get excited as Draisaitl alone is being like, oh my God, they're back together. The band's back together. this is just a desperate attempt to get anything on the board. Obviously it worked because they're two fantastic players. And then it goes back to the old, as it is what it is. So, keep an eye on it is this Oilers are going to be the same slow team. They're going to be obviously just the one player show, so it's definitely keep an eye on it. But I just wanted to let everyone know that the Draisaitl points were specifically in a ditch effort, not because they're back together.
Yeah. And I also noticed I talked about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the offseason as him being like a sneaky pickup because he's playing with McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
He still got all the minutes. I think at the end of the game, McDavid had like 24 minutes and the Nuge had 23 or something like that.
Yeah.
So he was right behind McDavid getting all the ice time. And then like Draisaitl had 17 and Lucic had 15 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So don't fret because Ryan Nugent Hopkins hasn't chipped in. They're giving him power play time, defensive time, everything.
Yeah.
So he is definitely turning out to be the real deal thus far, I guess, in the couple games.
No, I mean, like I said, yeah, the minutes are there. This is all that matters. That's all my takeaways I have for the Oilers. I don't really like watching Oilers games unless, for some reason, they're on, just because I don't like watching one-player teams. But
which we're in Canada, so we get a lot of Oilers games.
Yes, but we unfortunately have to get a lot of Oilers games, so it's tough. So the one I did watch, I was like, what is going on? And then it made sense after. I was like, okay, yeah, they obviously know they can't score even strength without getting this going. So
if something goes on weird with the points like that, I always look at the ice time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that's the next thing I go to is like, oh, how much ice time were they getting? Were they on for the power plays?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. That'll give you a little bit more of an indicator of what's going on with the game.
Yeah, because they were double shifting McDavid the entire third period. So that's why he had monster minutes. I don't think he's going to play 25 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's early in the year, and you try to sneak out a win. So, yeah, it's not really good news for Talbot owners.
They'll turn it around. Really? I got faith.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. So
yeah,
early.
Before we get into the kudos, you guys know where to find us at Fantasy NHL Talk. Keep the questions coming in. If you want us to talk about a team that we haven't talked about, mm-hmm. and say you're wondering why we're not talking about Ottawa or why we're not talking about this, let us know, and we'll bring them up on the next podcast. We'll put a pin in it, and then we'll give you some information in the next podcast, or just hit us up on there, and we'll tweet you.
Yeah, we can personally respond or whatever.
Or Facebook, whatever
medium you choose.
You want to go with your kudos first? Your kudos is a rather interesting one.
Yeah.
Everyone should know it by now.
Yeah, my kudos, if you don't know already, I do watch a lot of UFC. I watch it all. And last night was the fight of they say it's the biggest fight of all time for the UFC, which was, of course, Conor versus Khabib. The whole card was fantastic. Lots of great fights. And the Conor and Khabib fight went about as expected. Khabib grinded him out and eventually got the choke. But that's not what everyone's talking about. directly after the fight, for those who don't know, Conor is a master of getting in your head, saying mean things.
Trash talk?
Exactly.
If you don't know that, you've been living under a rock.
Exactly. So he said a lot of personal things about Khabib's family, the whole camp. They talked about his religion. He's a Muslim. They talked about his country. He's from Dagestan, Russia. Just totally tore this poor guy apart. Some people can handle the trash talk. Khabib cannot.
He took it personally.
Very personally. So after he won the fight, he jumped over the cage and started fighting Conor's trainer, Dylan Danis. He started fighting him, which was pretty crazy. So then that got broken up. Then as that was happening, three of Khabib's teammates jumped in the cage and started sucker punching McDavid. This is a hockey podcast, so I don't feel bad. McGregor.
Yep.
And it was a total mockery. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. That being said, it's amazing for the UFC because the publicity they're getting right now is uncharted.
Like watching the guys jump over the cage like that and throwing punches was nuts.
It was a melee. Cool thing. I mean, it's not really cool, but I mean, they arrested the guys that sucker punched Conor, and he refused to press charges, which I thought was very interesting. Obviously, he was okay with, I don't think he's okay with getting sucker punched, but he feels like it's not really worth prosecuting and stuff like that. He's a fighter. He understands, and I'm sure he understands the stuff that he said was quite savage.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't think he was expecting to get this, but obviously some backlash was going to happen.
And like you said, they got punished already, right? They're not fighting in the UFC.
Yeah, from what I'm told, I was up to like 2 o'clock in the morning watching the after press conference last night. The members of Khabib's team, there was a couple guys on there. They will never fight in the UFC. I was told that, so they're done. Their careers are over. Khabib is being investigated, obviously, by the Nevada Commission to see what they're going to do with him. His purse has been withheld. If you don't know what a purse is, it is basically what they get paid. So that's quite a chunk of change that Nevada is withholding for his actions. So that's almost like probably a 6 to 7 figure mistake.
Yeah,
so that
that's crazy.
Is pretty brutal. I'm very curious to see what they're going to do. Personally, I feel they'll strip Khabib of the belt, give it back to Conor, because Conor is the UFC at the moment, and this is also deplorable. As evil as Conor is, he is not jumping, fighting trainers, sucker punching fighters
outside of the ring
outside,
and stuff.
Yeah. So, hate him all you want. The guy is still, he's going to be that guy. So, it was very, 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 very interesting to watch. I was blown away about what happened. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, my kudos. It was a great event. But if you haven't seen it, Google it on YouTube. It is some crazy aftermath.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos. That's what you showed me this morning.
Yeah, I was like, gotta watch this. And then, so what do you got? What did you do for the week? Anything exciting?
Not really a big thing, but I wanted to bring a show.
Okay.
A Netflix show to people's attention. It's called The Good Place.
Okay.
With Kristen Bell. I don't know if you've watched anything of it.
I've heard it's good, but I haven't seen any episodes.
So what it is basically is, four humans are taken to the bad place. And so it's like hell or whatever.
Okay, got it.
So they're supposed to be tortured and stuff, but this one demon, the head demon, is going to make a hell where they torture each other so that they don't have to do as much work.
Sounds right? like a good idea.
So he puts them in this place, and he's like, oh, well, I'll give them, like, nothing to eat but frozen yogurt, because frozen yogurt is terrible.
Sure.
Or, like, clam chowder. Yeah. They can just eat clam chowder. No one likes clam chowder. So they just keep on torturing themselves with, like, these human things, and then they keep on figuring out that it is the bad place. They get together, the humans, and they're like, wait, are we being tortured right now? Like, this is terrible, and it doesn't seem like it's a good place. So the head demon or whatever keeps on starting over, and he keeps on making new bad places, trying to get these humans fooled. So it's in season 2. It's really funny. Kristen Bell is a sweetheart, and she is hella funny. The cast is funny. They talk about a lot of weird things, like going to see the judge to get judged whether you're going to the good place or the bad place. They get ranked on their merit on Earth. So, like,
gotcha,
if you have
gotcha.
Enough points, then you go to the good place. If you don't have enough points, you go to the bad place.
Okay, so it's like a point system.
Yeah.
So who's, like, the McDavid? They're going to heaven? They're like, most points is good?
Well, that's Eleanor is Kristen Bell in the show, and she actually took the place of someone else that had more points, but they had the same name.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, you're the wrong Eleanor, you're not supposed to be here. And she already knows that because she wasn't a good person.
Okay, cool.
So it's a funny show. It's on Netflix. There's 2 seasons right now. That's what I've been watching and thoroughly enjoying it. Take a gander.
Cool, cool.
You can't go wrong with Kristen Bell. I like her.
No, she's fantastic. I loved her in Veronica Mars, all her other things she's done. Frozen, she's huge.
You like Frozen?
I mean, well, she was in it. It was her probably biggest role ever. Last thing I want to give a shout-out to is Thanksgiving.
It's this weekend.
This is weekend, or not today, or whenever you
hear
this.
For Canada.
For Canada, of course. Us Canadians are having the turkey early because we are the best, so we will eat it. You guys get it next month if you're listening in the States. But, yeah, nonetheless, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully you had a great weekend with your family and watched some hockey and listened to us, obviously. And yeah.
You can listen to us while you drive to have turkey with your family.
Yeah, exactly, right? See?
In the car.
Perfect.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you later.